Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Praise God. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I'm just honored to be able to be here today and to be able to see all of you guys and to be able to bring forth the word. You know, believe it or not, this is the first time I've ever been to Michigan. And I've been to a lot of different places, but first time I've ever been to Michigan. And so I had to look up a few of the different things to familiarize myself with. You know, I didn't want to feel awkward or anything like that. So first and foremost, I had to realize that, you know what, everybody in Michigan knows where you live exactly by the hand, right? It's all about the hand. Where do you live in the hand? Even that freckle is like, hey, you know exactly what that city or that part of the country or the state means. Number two, apparently Michigan sauce is the ultimate condiment. Has anybody ever had Michigan sauce? Maybe my source was bad. All right. How about Superman ice creams? Anybody had Superman? Okay, all right, good. We got somebody on that one. All right. It doesn't have special powers, but apparently it's super delicious. So, another one, there's an in-state civil war brewing. Michigan State. All right, okay, good. All right, you understand. And also, there's this idea that says, don't say anything about this neighboring state that starts with an O. Yes. Okay, so I won't even say the whole thing. All right, okay. All right, I know that Lions fans are the definition of diehard. Okay, all right, got some amens on that one. It's getting better, good. Apparently, a few years ago, some Lions fans even put bags over their head to avoid complete embarrassment. I don't know, just Google. So another one, it said that there's this thing called the Michigan left, and it's terrifying. So you go through the intersection, you don't even do a U-turn, and then you go in the median and then take a left. Some of you know what I'm talking about, I guess. Thankfully, I haven't seen it yet. Hopefully, I don't experience that. There's also another one that said half of Michiganders' change is usually Canadian. I wanted to, is that true? Maybe more towards the UP or somewhere closer? I wanted to try to spend some money and some change to try to bring some souvenirs back for the kids. All right. And then apparently also Verner's Ale can cure almost anything. Okay, good. All right. I'll have to try some of that out. Okay. And then lastly, Michiganders never toss their cans. Apparently it's illegal here. You have to recycle them. And so I wanted to start to have a funny story about that. When I was a kid, I was growing up in Oklahoma, and I always used to look on those cans and those bottles, and it would say, like, MI, 5 cents or 10 cents and like that. So even as a kid, as a young boy, I was like, man, I have this awesome idea to get rich, right? Here I am. I'm going to save up all these bags and all these cans, and I'm going to go to Michigan, and I'm going to make myself wealthy, right? I'm going to make a lot of money. Well, that didn't quite happen, and I'm not quite wealthy, but here we are. So so happy to be here. Can we pray and get started with the Word of God this morning? God, I thank you so much for your presence in this place. Lord, I thank you for your glory that's here. I thank you for a bunch of people who love Jesus passionately. I thank you, Father God, for this day that you've given us, that now is the time and now is the place. I thank you for supernatural comprehension, attention, retention, and recall, Father God, that you open up our hearts to the scriptures today. Father God, we are committing. We're willing to say, hey, God, everything that you have for us in store for us today, we choose to open up our hearts to it. I thank you, Father God, for your help, for your wisdom, for your direction today. In Jesus' name, we all said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So our natural man seeks to sometimes be accumulating and collecting things like those cans and those bottles. But so much more than that, God has a little bit of a different way of doing things. I want to read to you my main scripture passage today, and that's from Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And it says this, giving brings a far greater blessing than receiving. I'm going to say that again. Giving brings a far greater blessing than receiving. In this series of leaving a legacy, our lives are not going to be remembered by what we've received, but they're going to be remembered by what we've given. As I was looking up the definition of a legacy is the positive, long-lasting impact that your life has on other people. I'm going to say that again. A legacy is the positive, long-lasting impact that your life has on other people. Think about that today as you're thinking about leaving a legacy. Man, if I were to die tomorrow, I'm not prophesying that. I hope you don't. I hope you live a really long life. But if you did, what are people going to remember you for? What are people going to remember? Hey, this man was good. This woman, man, she loved and she was so kind. She always smiled. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully it's not something like, oh yeah, I remember him. Oh yeah, Every time you walk into her desk, boy, watch out, right? We don't want to leave a legacy like that. We want to leave a legacy that says, hey, man, they gave unto the kingdom. That person was always giving. That person was generous. That person was always reaching out and giving of their time and of their resources. You know, even Winston Churchill said this. He said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Isn't that good? We have to work. We have to provide for all of the things, but we make a life by what we're giving. Anne Frank also said this. She said, no one has ever become poor by giving. No one has ever become poor by giving. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. We're getting rich by what we give. You know, I wanted to tell you a story this morning as we are beginning here on this. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, we knew that there was some money that we had that was coming in that was outside of our normal income streams. And so there was a check that was coming in, and we were excited about the opportunity. We know that it was coming to us. But we had both been praying, and we said, you know, God, we really believe that we are supposed to give this to another individual in our church, another family. And so we said, okay, it was no problem. It was really easy at the time to be able to step out and say, yeah, let's decide in our hearts. We're going to go ahead and give that, no problem. And we knew that it was coming in. And so then the money came in, and it all of a sudden got a little bit harder to try to give that money. Has that ever happened to you before? Oh, man, well, we had this kind of expense for our family, and we have this other thing that we could sure spend this on, and there's lots of other ways that we could spend this. But we said, no, we have to be obedient to what God's called us to do. We have to choose to say, hey, we knew that was in our hearts, and we have to stick to it. And so we did, and we said, okay, we scheduled up a meeting with these people, and then we gave that to them. And it was such a blessing for us because their faith had been set. They had been believing God. They had had a need for that. And so there was a great gift for being able to be generous in giving that. There was such an honor of our hearts to be able to give that. And you know what? God's always faithful. He took care of everything that we needed, all those things that we thought we needed that money for. God takes care of it. I don't even remember all the things that we needed, but God always takes care of what we have need of. Isn't that so good? You see, leaving a legacy is not about giving. I'm sorry, it's not about getting, but it's about giving. Let me get it right. A far greater blessing comes from giving than from receiving. We were doing a series at our church a few weeks ago, and we talked about legacy as well. And my wife had this, and it was so good, I just wanted to read it to you. She said this, an inheritance is what you leave to someone, but a legacy is what you leave in someone. An inheritance is what you leave someone, but a legacy is what you leave in someone. What kind of a legacy are you leaving to those around you? You know, God has given us all a unique opportunity, and generosity is one of those ways. I want to talk about four different main points today as we're talking about giving, as we're talking about leaving a legacy, and we're really focusing on this idea of generosity. We're going to go off on a few little rabbit trails here, but we're going to stay focused on this idea of generosity, and so we're going to define generosity. What is generosity? I have 4 points for you today. It spells out the word gift, G-I-F-T, so I see some note takers out there. That's awesome. For your daily Bible studies throughout the week as you're coming to chew on the Word of God and meditate on it and study it again. I encourage you to do so. If you're not, even if you get your phone out, we won't judge you right in church, but you're going to get the phone out and you're going to take notes on that. G-I-F-T are the 4 main points. And number one, or the first one, G stands for generosity. It's time to be generous. You know, our heart and our attitudes must be right towards giving. A definition of generous is to be liberal, to give in abundance, marked by abundance or ample proportions. You know, as a kid growing up, as a teenager, I would always take generous portions of dinner, right? And some days I still take generous portions of dinner. How about you? All right. So I wanted to tell you another story. There was a teacher of our daughter, and we were getting him a gift for Christmas, and we always noticed that he had these earphones that were the standard Apple ones that plug in, you know. He was always listening to books on tape. He was always doing a lot for our daughter. to be able to just prepare the lessons. And so we said, hey, what can we get him? We said, hey, I have a good idea. These AirPods would be a really awesome gift to be able to give to him. So let's do that. Let's bless him with it. And I was shopping for those AirPods, I realized that they got the regular AirPods, and then you got, I don't even have all the different ones, but all I know is the pros are the nicest ones. Those are the fancy ones. They have the noise canceling and all that stuff, right? Those are the cool ones. All right. So I wanted to try to say, hey, I could spend $100 and I could just get these for him. But then I said, no, you know what? What would I want? I would want the best, right? I want the pros. So guess what? We chose and we said, hey, you know what? We're going to spend the extra money and we're going to be generous and we're going to get the pros and we're going to be able to give those. It was so fun to be able to give that gift. It was so fun to be able to bless him. It's not like I'm just kind of just barely getting you a little bit here. You know what? I'm getting you the pros. So if you have a chance to be my child's teacher, that's a good opportunity to get some AirPods. All right. So generosity. Please turn even your Bibles or on your phones with me to Mark chapter 10 today. And we're going to talk about a story from Scripture. And we're going to talk about this rich man here. Perhaps some of you have heard it. If you haven't, that's totally fine. We're in Mark, which, remember, Mark is one of the Gospels. Mark is one of the accounts of how Jesus' ministry here on the earth. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I always like to say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are different ways to climb the mountain of Jesus' life here on the earth. It's so cool to be able to read the different perspectives and to be able to see the different ways that they saw Jesus' life and ministry. And so we're going to look at Mark chapter 10 today. And we're just going to read through this story, starting at verse 17, and then we're going to talk about a little bit about what this means. Again, we're talking about generosity. Verse 17, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him. He knelt down and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. He said, "There's still one thing you haven't done." He said, "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Verse 22, and the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Some of the scriptures say lots of property or great wealth. Verse 23, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" This amazed them. But Jesus said again, "Dear children, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Again, the disciples were astounded. Maybe you're listening today and you're like, what? Wait, Jesus doesn't want me to be rich. That's not what he said. Let's keep watching. Let's keep looking here. The disciples were astounded. They said, "Then who in the world can be saved?" Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Then Peter began to speak up. "But Lord," he said, "we've given up everything to follow you." And Jesus told him this. He said, "You know what? I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, they will have eternal life." Praise the Lord for that. "And many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." That last verse I really want to focus on here for just a minute. It says, "Many who are greatest now will be the least important then, and those who seem the least important now will be the greatest then." What? Where are you keeping your treasures? Where are you keeping your value? Where are you keeping it? Is it in your house? Is it in your car? Is it in, hey, I have the very latest iPhone, right? Where are you keeping your treasures? Is it the boat in the garage? Where is your treasure lying? Jesus said this, and we must remember the scriptures, where he said, hey, many that are great now are not going to be great then. See, here is the big point of this story that Jesus had. You know, Jesus often taught in parables and in stories, and we see where the disciples, they were astounded. They said, "Teacher, how dare you say such a thing?" They were shocked. They were just couldn't even believe that he was saying that. But you see, Jesus, he didn't want necessarily the money. He wanted that man's heart. He wanted his heart. Because you see, what did Jesus pick out from that? He realized what did have that man's heart. What did have that man's heart? It was his possessions. It was his wealth. It was his property. It was the things that he had worked really hard to be able to accrue. I don't know about you, but sometimes I fall into the trap, say, gosh, I sure worked hard for this. Gosh, I've spent a life of busting my behind here on working on some of this stuff to try to get to this place where, man, now I have a nicer home for my family, or now I have a truck to be able to drive, or now I have nice enough clothes, or now I'm really starting to be able to build towards my retirement. And I'm not saying any of that's wrong. Please don't take me out of context here. But let's go back to what Jesus said. He said, hey, you know what? He was very sad. The man was very sad. The man walked away. He wasn't willing to do the sacrifice of what Jesus asked him to do. You know, I'm not asking you today, thank goodness, to be able to sell all of your possessions. That's up to the Lord. If he wants to have you do that, then that's fine. But what I am asking you this morning is to consider in your heart and to say, you know what? Would I, if I was in that spot as that man, what would I do? Would I be willing to say, yes, Lord? Would I be willing to say, okay, I trust you? Or am I going to walk away very sad, knowing that I have great possessions? Oh, no, I'm not going to be willing to give that up. Is there something in your life that's bigger than what the Lord asks you to do? Oftentimes in our life, a barrier to generosity is us not being willing to give the Lord our whole heart. We say, yeah, I'll come to church, God. I'll serve. I'll sit in. I'll do all these things. But there's just, that's really close to my heart, and I just can't do that. Maybe for you, it's not money. Maybe for you, there's something else in your life that has held you back from being able to give it all to the Lord. You know, we sometimes always want to just sit here and say, oh, this gospel is so good and so good. And it is. It is so good, because what did Jesus say? He said, hey, I'm telling you what, if you give it all to me, I promise you that there's hundreds more of fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, houses. We must have the kingdom perspective. We must have an eternal perspective. We must realize that this day and this age is slowly coming to an end. As I get older and more quickly, I realize, hey, this life is but a vapor. This life is short. Before long, this life on earth is going to be done. What have we left for a legacy? What are we leaving behind in the hearts of the people? What are we furthering for the kingdom of God? Generosity, leaving a legacy just as this man did. Number two today, for a gift is investing. Investing is the kingdom, in the kingdom has the richest returns. My son came up to me probably a few months ago, and he said, so my brothers are both in the investment world. And they own an investing firm. And I love investing too. I love investing in any form of investing, from crypto to real estate to IRAs and 401ks and 403bs. And I enjoy all that stuff, the stock market and all that stuff. I like money, right? I enjoy the power of money. I enjoy doing math. I enjoy calculating compound interest. I enjoy going in like every year, say, retirement calculator. What is it going to be, right? I'm kind of a nerd about some of that stuff. And so even it kind of pawned off on my son a little bit. He said, hey, Dad, I got some money in my piggy bank. Can I invest it? I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I called my brother up and I said, hey, you know what? Put this in a good fund for him. And so he did. It was a few hundred dollars that he had instead of sitting in his piggy bank or buying a game system or spending it on candy or worthless toys. He came in and said, hey, I want to invest this money. And so I was so excited to be able to do it. And so we looked it up a couple of months later. And I said, hey, bud, you've made like $30 on your money. He's like, what? Wow. He's like, how am I even doing that? How am I making money when I don't even do anything? I'm like, well, and I got a cool chance to explain to him the power of interest and the power of the stocks that are growing and that you own a tiny little bit of that portion when you're investing in it. And he's like, wow, that's really cool. And so every so often he asks me, hey, Dad, will you check my account and will you see what it is? And he's up like 50 bucks and he's ecstatic about it. And so it's so cool. You know, so we're just thinking about investing in the kingdom of God has some of the richest returns. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6 if you want. I'm going to just kind of buzz through it here pretty quick. Matthew 6:19 to 21 says this. Don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourselves that will never rust, decay, or lose their value. I think about sometimes, if I'm honest with you today, what are some of my treasures? I love tools. I like to be able to collect nice tools to help me do my job easier. In Wyoming, we're also really big gun fans, right? We love hunting. We love being able, it's a measure of a true man to how big your pickup truck is and how many guns you have, right? So that's part of the deal in the West in Wyoming, right? So what are some of my treasures? Oftentimes I like really good gear when I go snowmobiling. Hey, I'll be like, hey, here's a nice pair of gloves. It's like $200. I'm going to, yes, give me those nice gloves to keep my hands warm all the time. Give me a nice tool that I can use to do my job with. You know, I think about my wife as well. What are some of her earthly treasures? Sometimes that could look like, sometimes she likes to say, hey, when I go to the grocery store, I have no budget because I'm providing for my kids, right? She says, it doesn't even matter. I'm buying my kids good food. It doesn't matter what it is. She would love to go on vacation every other weekend if we had a choice, right? To be able to have that treasure that she would have as well. That would be really great. And this is probably my favorite one is my kids' treasures, right? Christmas is coming up soon. They just have to have this new toy that's whatever, right? There's so many different forms of colored plastic. Whatever it is, it gets stuck in the cupboard after a little while, gets thrown in the closet a few days after. Before you know it, it ends up out in the yard and it gets faded and gets destroyed. And you tell your kids, go pick it up in the yard. Sometimes they pick it up and sometimes they don't. And then sometimes it ends up in the path of the lawnmower and then it gets shredded into 100 pieces. Is that just me or does that happen to anybody else in here today? Oh my goodness sakes. So my kids' toys sometimes can be that. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. Here are our heavenly treasures. This is the most important thing. Loving others, doing good, revealing truth, and bringing Christ's love to the lost. I'm going to say that again for some of you taking notes. What are some heavenly treasures? What should be our focus as we're thinking about what should we invest in? Loving others, doing good, revealing truth, bringing Christ's love to the lost. You know what? This church is a great place to be if that's your heart. There's so many good things that Alive Family Church is doing. There's so many good things that we're reaching out towards loving others, toward inviting new people in. To everything that's part of this leaving a legacy has to do with furthering the kingdom of God. Why would you not want to partner with them? It's so incredible to be able to think that we can partner with that. Verse 21 says this, for where your treasure is, there will your where. There will your heart be also. Let's take as many people as we can to heaven with us. The third point that I have for you today is faithful. G-I-F-T, generous, investing, faithful. Just as God is faithful, so must we also be faithful. When we were at Bible school, I don't know if even Eric and Erica know this story, but there was a time that we went in our first few months of Bible school, and we went down there, and we didn't have a lot. We were going by faith. We were going expecting, hey, God, you called us here. You've told us to come here. And so we're trusting you in it. It wasn't something that we said, hey, we had saved up all the money to be able to go. No, we went by faith. We had a little bit, but we said, hey, God, we're believing you. We got tuition. We got housing expenses. We're trying to work in the afternoons, but we're also going to school and we're trusting that God will provide. And so we were going to church during that time. And God challenged me. He said, hey, you know what? How much do you love me? And this is my story. You know, maybe it happens to you, maybe it doesn't. I just want to tell you from my perspective. And so I had like, I think it was 10 bucks in my wallet. And I in a way, I was super prideful of that $10 because I said, hey, God, what if I got to get a drink? It's really hot here in Oklahoma in the summertime. What if I need to go get some Gatorade or something from the store? I got to have a little bit of cash to be able to, you know, give in case I need something like that. And God challenged me. He said, well, Just like that story we just read, how much do you love me? Okay, God. I pulled out my wallet and I cleaned it out and I said, I'm going to empty my wallet for you, right? And to me, that was incredibly significant because it was a part of my heart that I was holding on to. And I had to choose to say, no, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to give that. And so I did, expecting in faith. And then we went to back to evening service. It was a service on that Sunday night. We went back and we said, hey, okay, God, here's offering. What do you want me to do? I gave all of it this morning. He said, give the change in your pocket. Okay, I already gave the 10 bucks. The change is nothing. And so here I have no backup plan. I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have a debit card. There was no backup plan. I was out of cash. I didn't have any more. My wife didn't have any more either, right? That was it. We were done. We had given our heart and given it all to God. And shortly thereafter, there was a lady or a couple that came up and said, hey, you know what? We want to start sponsoring you in this. And every month they started giving us a few $100 to be able to help towards our tuition because of that. And it was a direct result I knew in my heart because I was faithful to give, because I gave God my heart, because I stepped out in faith and said, hey, you know what, God? I can't do any more. This is as best as I got. I've been obedient. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I know that there's people in this place today that your hearts are in the right place. And so I encourage you, as this message comes forth, I encourage you, what is it that you can be faithful in? Just as God is faithful, so we must also be faithful. God is always faithful. And we are faithful through our giving. I want to talk just for a minute about tithing and what that is and what that involves. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says this. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't even have room enough to receive it. Try it and put me to the test. So you see here, this is a verse in the Old Testament. This is a verse that is talking to the children of Israel, the people of God. And he's coming in and he says, bring the tithe to me. He said, you're under a curse before that. He says, you've cheated me. You've robbed me. And they said, hey, God, how have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and in offerings. They say, wait, what? How is that even possible? But he says, bring the tithes and offerings to the storehouse. Bring them unto me. And then, here's my favorite part of this. He says, prove me now herewith, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. A little bit of teaching on this. The tithe means tenth. The tithe means tenth, and it originates back. I don't have time today to go into it, but Genesis chapter 14, where we see Abraham and we see the high priest Melchizedek. Abraham had come into a great pile of wealth. He had come into a great pile of plunder from the battles that he had conquered. And Abraham said, I'm going to give a tithe to you. The priest represented God in that case. And the priest represented. And so Abraham came in and he said, hey, I want to give you a tenth of all my income. I want to give you of the tithe. It's a biblical principle that goes all the way through the Bible. And we see of the tithe. And so the tithe, again, the tithe is the tenth. And so we see here in this, in Malachi, as we move forward, God says this. He says, prove me now, and if I will not open the windows of heaven so great that you're not going to have room enough to receive it. There's only one other case in the Bible where God uses that phrase, windows of heaven, and that's when it started raining on the day that the flood happened. Think about for just a minute all of the water that began pouring out. When you begin to study and begin to read, the fountains of the deep opened up and there was great floods from inside of the earth. It wasn't just rain coming down. It was gushing and roaring and giant amounts of water spewing forth. So much so that the scholars say that the highest mountain in the world was covered with 40 feet of water. Now imagine the Marianas Trench that we have now, how much water and volume and capacity. It's astounding. And what does he say here? God connects this and says, hey, watch this. If you're going to bring the tithe to me, prove me. God says, prove me. Watch. Test me. Try it out. If I will not open the windows of heaven. You see the symbolism there? The windows of heaven in your finances. The windows of heaven in your checkbook. The windows of heaven in your income. The windows of heaven in your family. If you're not receiving the blessing like you want in your life, I challenge you, do a checkup. Are you tithing? Are you giving of your substance, of your first fruits? A tithe is a 10%. That's one of the things that God says. You say, hey, you want to be a member? Pastor Eric and Erica didn't tell me to say this, but a true test of a member of a congregation is two things. Number one, you're serving. And number two, you're giving of your tithes. Because guess what? Now your heart's involved. You got your finances and you got your time. Amen. So number three is faithful. Number four, the time is now. Pastor Eric, I'm doing my best here, man. All right, praise God. Number four is time. The time is now. I want to read a story to you today about a famous man several years ago who was a millionaire. This man was a multimillionaire, and he was actually the first billionaire in America. He was a businessman. He was a man who was very shrewd in business. He was a man that was very cunning and very wise and very smart as well. And this man actually, when he arrived at the age of 53, he was one of the richest men in the world. But he was sick. He could only eat milk, crackers, so much so that the people around him, the newspapers, had written his obituary. He was just about to die. And this man was praying to God one night, and he said, God, I need to know, God, help me out, save me. I've tried all the doctors. I don't know anything. I'm about ready to die. And God spoke to him in a vision, and he says, hey, I've given you this to be able to give to others. I've blessed you in business so that you can be able to give to others. And from that very minute, that man's life changed. He started a foundation. He began to give his money away. He began to start funding cures for other diseases in that day and that age. And before you knew it, he realized he began to get better and better and better. When they thought he was going to die at the age of 53, he lived to a ripe old age of 93. Because his body was literally changed because of his attitude and his approach and his obedience toward giving. This man's name was John Rockefeller. Standard Oil Company, richest man in the world in the early 1900s. And so I want to challenge you today, as we begin thinking about leaving a legacy, as we begin thinking about each of these gifts, we understand that legacy is, number one, generosity. We understand that number two, legacy is investing. We understand that legacy is, number three, being faithful. And number four, realizing that the time is now. Leaving a legacy is not about giving. I'm sorry. I keep saying it wrong. Leaving a legacy is all about giving, not about getting. A far greater blessing comes from giving than from receiving. An inheritance is what you leave to somebody, but a legacy is what you leave inside of them. God has given us a unique opportunity, and generosity is one of those ways. As Pastor Eric and Erica talked last week, as they started really coming in and start casting the vision, didn't they do such a great job of that last week of saying, hey, here's where the church is headed. Here's where we're going. Here's your chance to be able to give and invest in this. They talked about the vision of this ministry, about saying, hey, the gym, it needs redone. There's some things in it that the gym can be redone. They said, hey, you know what? There's some things that we can be able to give to missions to be able to help out, both to missionaries in Mexico and also to the people with the flooding, right, as well. And so here's all these chances to be able to give and opportunities to be able to partner with them in leaving a legacy. So I want to talk about two main choices that you have today from this message. First, number one, you can begin to start tithing. If you are already tithing, that's great. If you are not tithing yet, I highly encourage you to do so. You say, man, wow, you just want my money. No, I don't. Remember the rich man? It's Jesus that wants your money. Jesus, he wants your money. Why? Number one, he needs it in the practical purposes for the kingdom. But number two, more importantly, he wants your heart. When you're tithing, when you're giving, it says, hey, God, I'm giving you of my substance. My money represents a resource of my time. My money represents me working. My money represents something that I use. And so if I'm going to take that and I'm going to start giving of a tithe, if I'm going to start honoring you with it, now you really have my heart because I'm into it. And not only that, but remember, when we partner with God, come on, somebody, what does he always promise and tell us? He says, prove me and watch if I'm not going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a fantastic blessing that you not have room enough to receive it. We don't do it for the blessing. We don't do it because we want to be blessed. We do it because we're honoring God. We do it because we're furthering the kingdom of God. Some of you, I know that life is hard. You talk about your money and your time and your resources and all those things. You say, I'm so busy. I go to the grocery store and I can barely buy all the groceries. My money, every dollar, every dime is accounted for. My kids eat a lot of food, right? But if tithing is a thing for you, I wanted to say this. Start with where you're at. Maybe next month you can wrap your faith around the idea of say, hey, I'm going to give 1%. This month, when I get paid, I'm going to give 1%. And then next month, I'm going to double it, and I'm going to go to 2%. And then the month after that, I'm going to go up to 3% and 4% and work your way up to be able to say, oh, by the end of time next year's done, I'm giving of my 10%. I'm honoring God with it. Start with where your faith is and move yourself forward to that goal and say, hey, God, I'm going to get there. I want you to have my heart. I want to be a tither. I want to be a giver. Maybe some of you in here just need to start right now. Go write that check to be able to give the tithe. That's way number one, you can get involved. Way number two, you can get involved. The extra after the tithe is called the offering. This is where your heart giving comes into play. We've talked about leaving a legacy. The legacy offering happens in 3 weeks on December 8th here at this church. And I truly believe that more than enough is going to come in than everything that we need, that I'm going to get a call from Pastor Eric and Erica in a couple weeks and we say, hey, guess what? The gym is completely and fully funded. Hey, you know what? We're moving on. We're hosting outreaches here every night of the week. It's so full. There's people coming in and seeing the glory of God at Alive Family Church. There's kids that are being ministered to. Our kids are just having so much fun. They're being ministered to. Lives are being changed. People are accepting Jesus and seeing the hope that is in Christ. Because they come into a first-class gym, because they come into this place and say, man, there's something excellent happening here. There's something good that's happening here. And you just say, oh, it's the legacy that these people want to leave. They say, hey, you know what? We realize that God's doing something awesome in this place and in the hearts of people. You know, as some of you think about this, maybe a dollar is a lot. Maybe $10 is a lot. Think about the times that you've given a dollar. Yeah, I give it to my kids, give it to the vending machine. It doesn't even cost a dollar anymore. It's like $2. Maybe give $10. Yeah, I'll give 10 bucks, no problem. Give it to my kids, go watch a movie, something like that. Maybe buy a movie ticket. Let's keep going. $100. Oh, okay. Have you given $100 before? It's kind of fun to give a Benjamin once in a while. It's kind of fun to give $100. No, a few times. What about $1,000? Ooh, man, some of us, that might feel big. Have you ever given $1,000 before? I like giving thousands of dollars. I think it's fun. Maybe some of you in here, that's what you're supposed to do. Maybe some of you in here, that number adds another zero on, and it's 10,000. You say, why are you saying this? Why are you doing this? I'm encouraging you this morning. There's times that things have dropped into my heart. Sometimes there's a number. We all have a part to play. And here's the thing, when we each of us do our part, this is no big thing for God. When each of us do our part in our giving, of leaving a legacy, of being generous, of saying, God, I'm offering it up to you, it's easy for him. What does he say? Prove me now herewith, if I'll now open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you cannot have room enough to receive it. Did I say 10,000? Maybe some of you, it's 10,000. Say, hey, I don't, maybe not necessarily on the legacy team, maybe I am, and that's totally fine. But what has God placed upon your heart to be able to do? Hey, I want to set my faith together. Husband and his wife, get together, pray about it. Say, hey, what is my part to be able to give? I love giving. It's so fun. The Bible says that God loves a generous giver. God loves a generous giver. Can I pray with you this morning? God, we thank you so much for this time. I thank you for the word that has been spoken. I thank you, Father God, for the hearts of the people that are receptive and open to what you would have, not only in their life, but also for this ministry that they've partnered up with. Lord, it's our desire to leave a legacy in and through each one of those people around us to leave a legacy that says, man, that person sure had a kingdom mindset. God, it is my heart that everybody within the sound of my voice this morning and those watching online as well, it says, hey, you know what? I have a part in that. I know that I need to give that. I know that I can step out in this. And God, I'm going to prove you faithful every step of the way. If there's anybody that's within the sound of my voice this morning with their heads bowed and your eyes closed, and you say, man, I've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I've heard about it. Maybe there's some of you in here today that you've had hurt in different churches from different things or different people. You say, man, if that person was a Christian, I never knew. I want to encourage you, Jesus loves you this morning. He's got an amazing plan for your life. He's got a purpose for you. If you choose to give him your heart, if you choose to open it up to him, he'll change it forever. He'll make it better in every single way. If there's anybody in here that wants to either accept Christ into your heart this morning, say, hey, I'm going to rededicate my life to him. If you just raise your hand this morning for us, be happy to pray with you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. If everybody would say this prayer with me, dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to change my life. Forgive me of my sins and make me whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. God's presence is here this morning. His anointing is here. As you begin to do this, I want you to, in the next couple weeks, I really want to challenge you, encourage you. Say, God, I want to give you every piece of my heart. I want to make sure that nothing is missing. God, every piece. And do that and watch him be so faithful. Amen.